Well, bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Israel was under captivity to many different nations. Of course, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Syrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, ultimately the Romans. So when Christ came, the people were expecting some type of a military or a political leader that would defeat the enemy and set up a kingdom for them to dwell in. And so they missed much of the greatness of what Jesus Christ's life, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension really accomplished for us. Now, we may nod our heads in agreement, but even here, thousands of years removed, Christianity, with all of its preaching, many of the believing ones are waiting for 2010 or 2012 to finally be victorious, to have our time to be victorious. You see, unless Christian believing ones, sons of God, begin to exercise their God-given authority in the spiritual realm, we'll continue to see false hope and little change in 2010, 2012, just like we're seeing in 2009, we'll see it in 2016, we'll see it in 2020, and so on down the line. Because I believe at best, Christianity is still waiting for a Moses, not a Christ. They're waiting for somebody to change the country, to turn it all around and set up this kingdom. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6, and here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it tells us, and it's to the Christian people, it's to the believing ones. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For the reason being, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or wicked spirits from on high. We keep going back to flesh and blood. Every time Christianity moves, and most Christians, they still go to flesh and blood. Oh yes, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, we're taking on the spiritual things, but still, they still look at flesh and blood. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Because Luke chapter 10 tells us we have been given authority. And unless we start exercising our authority against the spirit realm, there will be little change and very little hope. Actually, no hope. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 17. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy. Isn't that great? He sent out 70, and 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Isn't that something? And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Tremendous. Behold, I give unto you power, and that's the word exousia, that's exercised authority over an area of responsibility. The word authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. And that word power there is dunamis. That's all of the potential. Everything that the spirit realm could possibly come up to, all of their potential, it says he has given us exousia, exercise power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the potential of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But until we come back to exercising our power over the spirit realm, we are going to suffer in the physical realm. Like I say, I believe at best most Christians are waiting for a Moses. They're not waiting for a victorious Christ who has delegated to us power and authority to act in his behalf, to act on the power of God, act on the kingdom of God. You know, think about the Lord's Prayer. You know, the part of it says, thy kingdom come. thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what exactly does that mean? Again, in Luke chapter 10, let's look at verse 9. Jesus tells the 70 after when he sends them out, in verse 9 it says, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. In other words, it's here. The kingdom of God is here. And if the kingdom of God is here, it says, heal the sick that are therein. That's a lot better than some kind of a health care program or wrestling with each other over health care and all these other things that we consistently fight about and we're so worried about because of what it's going to do here and what it's going to do there and the costs and all these things. Well, if you heal the sick, that pretty much eliminates the cost, doesn't it? That's already been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's within our realm of authority. It's within the realm of the authority of every Christian person, every born-again believing one has the authority to go and do these things. Look at chapter 9. This is when he sent out the 12 first. And in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power, dunamis, potential, and authority. That's the exercise power over an area of responsibility. You know, I've been to many jobs where I've been given responsibilities, but I was never given the authority to act on it. Well, here he gave to his disciples not only the potential to do things, but also the power and the authority to go ahead and do them. So we've got full authority over all devils. How many? All of them. And to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Isn't that wonderful? Look at verse 6. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. How's that for a healthcare program? Just amazing. But it requires believers to really start to act upon the authority that they actually have and start putting that dunamis and exercising that dunamis power, that potential power. Verse 11 says, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. See, the kingdom of God has come. Well, who is the king of the kingdom? Of course, God, sure. Then who are you as a son of God? Well, sons and daughters of God, if he is the king, we are in essence princes and princesses. Don't you think you should be about your princely duties? Exercising power and authority for the good of the kingdom? Wouldn't that be nice for someone to be around that? Look at Luke chapter 24. Again, these exhortations that are there. And I know sometimes people are not ready for it. You know, I'll handle this part, but I'll leave the casting out of demons to somebody else and all these other things. Look, we're all charged, and we all should be about our Father's business. In Luke 24, verse 49, it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, with all of the potential from on high. Well, we've already been endued. There's no more tarrying to be done. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be exercising our power and authority for the good of the kingdom. We need to be bringing healing to people. We need to be casting out demons, and we need to be helping people and curing diseases and those kinds of things. And I think that the Christian community has not been doing its job. Now, I know it requires the believing of others, but we need to get going on this. Look at Mark chapter 16. This is on the day of the Ascension, and Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples, and he tells them in Mark 16, starting in verse 14, he tells them, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them." Why did he upbraid them? Well, because of their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Well, we have proof of the resurrection resident within us. He shouldn't have to upbraid us. We need to just be acting upon the power that he's given to us and the authority that he's given to us. Because the next thing he tells them, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," the good news, "to every creature." I think Christianity spent most of its time preaching bad news. You know, who's going to go to hell and who's not saved and this, that, and the other thing. Well, we're to be preaching, we're to be about preaching the gospel, the good news to all of the creation. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And I handle that in my book, The True Justice of a Just God. I share on that verse completely in light of some tremendous truths and understanding the administrations, different times, and so forth, that I think you'd be real blessed if you don't have a copy of my book, to pick up a copy and see how this is handled. Verse 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they shall take up serpents," it's in the category of if, "and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders." Well, we have the Lord to work with us and confirming the word, and we ought to get out and start moving everywhere, carrying forth the greatness of the word. See? You know, I was thinking about it. At one of my jobs, when I was working secularly, I worked with this gentleman, and he told me that he had been mugged. And he said, "I shouldn't have been in that part of town." And I thought, why? Is that the safety zone for muggers? I mean, and if you know that's a bad part of town, why don't the police know it? And go over there and they'd handle all the muggers. They're all in one place. It's a great place to go. I guess that would be profiling of some sort or something. But you see, the real truth is, unless someone starts exercising their spiritual power over all of the power of the enemy, which is the devil's spirit realm, and start to move in those categories, we're going to stay exactly where we are physically. Because we have a power that goes beyond the political. We have a power that goes beyond the military. We have a power that goes beyond the governance and the police that can really be of great help to people. You know, look, evil is going to be everywhere. He has free reign. Look at 1 John. Let's go to the record in 1 John. And if nobody's bothering him, nobody's upsetting the adversary, then he's got free reign. Whether it's in areas of the country or it is in categories like health and some of these other things where people are suffering so terribly. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." See, it's set in wickedness. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. And again, I want to read this to you, to set this for you and set it in the depth of your heart. It says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." I'm not devil spirit crazy and I'm looking for devil spirits behind every rock, but goodness sakes, There's a lot of them, and who's doing anything about it? Utilizing their spiritual power, then why did Jesus tell the 70 that? For goodness sakes. I know people are afraid, but you have no need to be afraid. We are victorious. He's given us over power over all the potential of the enemy. Look at this. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What presidential candidate has ever made lightning fall from heaven? What president has ever made it? What military leader has ever made lightning fall from heaven in that category? See, it's the believing ones just taking on the responsibility and being about our princely duties in the kingdom of God, see? It says, behold, I give unto you power, again, exousia, the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. You already have the authority. It's not like we have to sit around and wait and see, that we have to wait for someone to tell us or God to show us by revelation. It says, I have given unto you power, exousia, authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the potential of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, I believe there is power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ that reaches beyond the political realms, that reaches beyond the police. How far do you want to go with it? And I don't mean for Beloved of God Ministries. That's a corporation. I'll handle the corporation side of it. You know, I'll take care of our taxes. I'll take care of all the paperwork that we have to do for the government and all of that stuff. Not for Beloved of God, but for God, because you're a son of God. And he's given you authority, and he's given you power. See? Because you're a son of God with all power. There's a place for politicians and police. I don't know where it is. No, I'm only kidding. I wouldn't want to have to be without either one. But we do have a living Savior, and I will not be without that. Above all things. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. You know, we keep going back and forth to these, but I'm trying to really set this for the depth of your heart, so that we can be about our duties. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, the kratos power, the impacting power of his might, which is iskos, prevailing power. You're going to prevail. That's the only way we're going to prevail in this life. We can't be waiting around for 2010 and 2012 for things to change. And it's not going to change. Because do you think the economics are basically a political thing? Or do you think economics are, I think it's a spiritual thing. And I think we have the right to tell the adversary to back off, to command him to stop interfering with our economic prosperity, to stop interfering with what God wants to bless us with. You know, I remember seeing a movie where the gentleman had a farm, and it was beautiful, plush, wonderful farm. And then all of a sudden, the guy on the property up the river from him started to dam up the river so that he could take care of his and wouldn't allow the water to flow down to the next property. And, you know, there were big fights over the property, over the water rights. Well, you know, he can't interrupt. We should not allow him to interrupt it, and we have the power to stop it. I think all of these diseases and things that we're constantly being attacked on ultimately is spiritual, and we have the right to tell the adversary, stop it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to stop. You have no right to do this to us. For my God wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. You have no right to do that against the people of God. And really, you have no right to do it against other people. And I forbid that in the name of Jesus Christ. And start to help our communities in areas that our politicians and our police departments can't do. And others. See? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits from on high, or spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you think that all of those are the same thing? See, I remember being taught that the adversary's kingdom, the adversary is set up like the military, where you have buck privates and sergeants and officers and, you know, five-star generals and those things. I think it's bigger than that. I believe it's a kingdom. I believe that there are different levels of spirit besides ones that we work on with people and help people in the categories of getting demons cast out of their bodies, spirits cast out of their bodies. And as I've shared with you on a number of occasions, the word possessed in your Bible is the Greek word dianizomai, which means demonized, or as I like to put it, victimized by evil spirits, because they're constantly being victimized because of things that have happened in their lives. But in any case, to get to the truth of this, I believe that it's set up more like a kingdom than it is an army. I believe that there are spirits that are over complete countries. I believe that there are spirits that have the responsibility of being over areas or sections of the country. Perhaps there's spirits even over continents that take over these things and utilize their power and direct the attack on people so that they are dissuaded and either disappointed, discouraged, and they're looking at anything but God Almighty for their help, and they're forgetting that they have a Savior, or forgetting that there is a Savior available to deliver them from those things and get our attention focused on everything else, whether it's the economy or the ecology or anything else, that our time and our dedication and people's lives and thoughts are directed toward that rather than worship of the one true God and loving Him and walking with power and setting up His kingdom. I know we're not going to set up His kingdom on earth. I understand that. I know the gathering together. Honestly, I do. But I think we can do things a lot greater since we've been given authority over all the kingdom of the enemy, or all the power of the enemy, the potential. But all of these spirits function. Now, it is chaos, but it is an organized chaos. And you know, there's direction from higher levels on down. And we're to put on the whole armor of God. I know that many Christians believe in prayer. I believe in it also. But if you listen to the prayer of most Christians, it's very weak. And we need to be exercising power. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." I think for most people, and most Christians, the way that they pray, it's like they're not involved. They're out in the audience and they're cheering on the underdog. You know, God, help those poor people over in such and such a place. God, be with those people over here. And God, would you watch over those people over there? You're in the wrestling match, whether you want to be in it or not. You're not just sitting out in the audience rooting for the underdog. And we need to start to utilize our prayer in exercising the power of God. See, it's not just a wrestling exhibition. We're not just observing and rooting. We need to be people who are actively involved and utilizing the name of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 21. I want to start to set this for you. Because in Matthew chapter 21, now, this is a very familiar scripture. I imagine to most of you, it'd probably been a retemery or something that you've memorized. You may even have it crocheted or whatever they call that stuff on a poster or something lying around the house. But I want to look at this, because it says here in Matthew 21, verse 22, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall," what? "Receive." Sure. Now, I want to focus on this word, ask. And I do plan to teach on the different words used for prayer. But I want to focus particularly on this word ask, because it's the Greek word aito, or ateo, A-I-T-E, long O. And if you look in Bullinger's Concordance or any of the other concordances, it will say to beg or request. That is true. But I don't think that's all of it, because it's used also as the word demand. I think the translating it to beg or request is more in an attitude or a humility in our prayer. In other words, we're not barking orders at God. No, I think that covers thanksgiving, thanking God for what He's given to us, and I certainly do that in my prayer. But this word also means to demand, and maybe our lack of understanding of what the word demand is makes us hesitant to utilize that word in our understanding of this. So I do want to share it with you that maybe I can help you understand what it means when we're talking about demand in terms of prayer. Because, like I say, this word is also translated to demand. In order to demand something, first of all, you have to have a supply, a source of supply, or an account. Then you can make a demand as you need it. And the way that it's set up is that the demand cannot be turned down. For instance, on our money, it used to be on our paper dollars, or fives, ten, whatever. On our paper dollars, it used to be called a silver certificate, and on it, it would say "pay to the bearer on demand." What that meant is that, say, I had a $1 bill, and $1 was equal to a gram of silver. I could take that to the bank, and I could say, I want the silver instead of the dollar, instead of the paper dollar. They would have to give me that silver. It was paid to the bearer on demand. Obviously, it's a lot easier if you're going to go buy a car or something like that than trying to take 20,000 grams of silver with you. You know, your pockets would be awfully full if they don't break, and you'd probably have to help somebody help you walk down the street so that you could get to the auto dealer and buy the car. But the point is that paper was equal to it, and they could not print another dollar until they received that one back. Maybe that one wore out and it was no longer useful. You couldn't read the numbers and so forth, and so the bank would turn that in. They would destroy that one and then print another one. But every time that you went to use a dollar, there would have to be a gram of silver somewhere, like Fort Knox, backing up that dollar bill. So every time you had one of those pieces of paper, you knew you had the supply. You understand? That that no matter what you would request with your dollars, it would not be beyond what the supply held. Well, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have God in Christ in us. We have power over all the exercise power of the enemy. So I don't think that we're going to run out anytime soon. That's how it was set up. Maybe in HVAC, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, some of you may be aware of that, you have a thermostat, and your thermostat will regulate the temperature in the room so that it stays comfortable. For instance, if I think that 68 degrees is comfortable for me, then I would set my thermostat on 68 degrees. Now, if the room temperature would rise above that, then the thermostat makes a demand on the air conditioning unit to start sending in cool air. Now, when you're putting these things together, when you're setting up the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning in a home, you've got it figured out how much airspace it is, how much different things, and what the temperature is going to be, so that it's designed that that air conditioner would have enough resources to bring the cold air to change whatever change in temperature there would be and bring it up to make it comfortable. Same thing with the furnace. And as some of you, if you look on your manuals, it'll say that your thermostat makes a demand on the furnace. Your furnace has every bit of ability to meet that demand whenever it's called upon. You got it? As a matter of fact, some of your manuals, if you look at it, it may say the thermostat calls the furnace. And I thought that's pretty great, because we call on the name of the Lord. In other words, we call on whatever is required. We make a demand on that power to utilize it. So in terms of authority, you're commanding it. So don't allow a negative thought toward a particular word cause you to stumble. And we need to start operating this power. I was thinking about it when we were home on or back in Columbus on a vacation. We took a vacation. We usually take vacations on the first week of August. And when we go to Columbus, usually we spend 3 days down near the Cincinnati area. We go to this place called the Beach Water Park, and we go to Kings Island. We bring our grandchildren and the family, and we have a real good time. So as usual, we went down there, and we usually start with 2 days at the Beach Water Park, and then we'll go to Kings Island, and then we come back to Columbus. Well, this year when we went down there, we left early in the morning, and as we started traveling south from Columbus, south toward Cincinnati, it started to rain. And by the time we got down to the Beach Water Park, it was coming down so hard. It was coming down in buckets. And so we got to the Beach Water Park, and we're sitting in the car, you know, thinking, hoping things might clear up. And of course, it didn't clear up. And it's just pouring down buckets. And within an hour, they had to close the park because the pools were overflowing. Can you imagine how much rain that would have to be? And they couldn't regulate how much chlorine and stuff should be in the pools, because it's going out into the sidewalks. And then around the trees and things where they had mulch, it was washing into the pools, so they're having trouble filtering things, and they had to close the park. So, you know, I think, okay, well, let's go to Kings Island. So we go over to Kings Island, and it's still coming down in the buckets. And got to go on a few rides, saw a few events, and we're there, and it's coming down in buckets, and they start closing the rides, because the rides run on electricity, and you have water and electricity, it doesn't match. So they're closing that down. Then they started closing down restaurants, and Kings Island does not have a rain check or anything like that. You pay a pretty good amount for a ticket for 24 hours, and regardless of what happens, that's your thing. They don't close it down, because you can go over to the arcade. Of course, it costs you extra money to be in the arcade, but anyways, that's an indoor site. So, you know, but we're standing there, and it's coming down buckets, and I've got a little poncho on, and you know, but it's very uncomfortable. And so we decided, okay, let's leave, and let's go to a movie and wait for the rain to stop. And so we go out to the movies, and we watch the movie, and the kids enjoyed that. And then we're coming out of the movie, and it is still coming down, I mean, in buckets. So I said, well, let's go to Subway. The kids love Subway sandwiches. We'll get some of that. We'll come back to the hotel. We'll eat, and we'll figure out what we're going to do. So we go get the Subway. We go back to the hotel, and we're sitting there, and I'm looking out the window, and it is coming down harder. Can you imagine that? I mean, it was coming down. Now it's coming down harder. And my son-in-law comes in with his his computer, and he's a lot smarter than me. He shows me on the computer. He said, Larry, here's the country. There's nothing out on the west. There's nothing out on the east, and there's nothing on the south. But there is this big green blob that is just sitting over northern Kentucky and southern Ohio, and right dead center is Mason, Ohio. That's exactly where we were. And it's just sort of moving, you know, all around in a slow circle, and it's not moving at all. And the forecast is supposed to be rain for the next 4 days. And he looks at me and says, "Do you think there might be something spiritual about this?" And, you know, he's much smarter than I am. I, duh. So I said, "You're right. Let's pray about this." Because, look, it can't be rain from God. Because the word rain, when God, it's of God, it's a whole different word. It's a light rain, like the latter rain and the former rains associated with the growing season. This is coming down in buckets. This would be destroying crops. That's not right. So we prayed. You know, we thank God for the authority that he's given to us. And we thank God for his great love for us and for all of people. Particularly the sons of God that are there, I'm sure they didn't want that rain. I knew I had them on my side. They wanted it to stop. And so we prayed and we thank God for the authority and the power that he's given to us. And we commanded whatever spirit that is over this thing, whatever is causing this stuff, that's causing people, I command him to stop it in the name of Jesus Christ. I command the disruption of whatever he's trying to do to cause this damage. I mean, here's companies that are having to close down, and that's not right. People, because his desire is that people prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. So that's not right. And then crops are getting ruined. People's homes are starting to flood. That's not of God. That's not right. So we commanded that we forbid this to happen. We forbid for the enemy to attack people like that. You know, he doesn't attack because people are sin. He attacks because he's a sinner. He's evil. He's darkness. So we just commanded that this stop. We forbid this to happen. We forbid him from ruining our time. Now, I don't think that was happening just because I was down there. I'm not that vain. But, you know, I mean, if it was, all he had to do was just rain over the place where I was and follow me, you know, like that cartoon in, Peanuts cartoon. Where the dark cloud follows that one guy, but I was there, and I'm a son of God with all power, and I believe I'm a minister with authority. So we just prayed and we commanded those things. You know, within 15 minutes, that rain stopped. Now the sun didn't break through, and the clouds move away, and then you know, the angels were singing, and the sun was shining, and it was a gorgeous thing. No, it was still overcast, but the rain had stopped. And so we packed up the kids. We went back to Kings Island, and we had a great time. They went on the rides that they wanted to go on, and things had opened up again, the restaurants and the rides and all the different little events and things that they wanted to participate. And we had a good time. Then the next morning, when we wanted to go to the beach, they had it completely cleaned up. The levels, everything was right. The pools were open. The rides, you know, the slides and things were all open and that stuff. It was still an overcast day, but no rain. And we enjoyed that day. And then the third day was just a gorgeous day. And so, but the adversary doesn't have right to flood people's homes. He has no right to ruin crops. He has no right. So we forbid it. We commanded that it stop. By the authority I believe I had from the believing ones who also have authority. And so we wanted to do something about it. See, who was I going to call? The weatherman? Call the mayor? Call the governor? Call the police department? What are they going to do? See, there's just so many areas of life that we need sons of God walking with power. See, otherwise, we are not going to see hope. We're not going to see change. Now, I'm not picking on President Obama, but he chose the campaign slogan. And unless he starts to go up against principalities, powers, mights, dominions, the rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits from on high, he's not going to do anything either. Or any of the other politicians. What governor decides that? What senator, what congressman gets together and said, hey, let's pray about this stuff. Let's command this stuff. I don't know of any. Let's exercise the authority God has given to us. So I don't see that. You know, it's not a Republican or a Democrat or even an independent thing. It's a Christian thing. It's a Son of God thing, being about our princely duties, acting on the power of God that's been given to us. And, you know, again, who cripples economies? Well, my Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So I want to get to it at the source. Sure. Hebrews 4:16 tells us to come boldly before the throne of God, that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Well, I think part of that grace is exercising the authority that we have. Remember Paul, Gil Heckel reminded me of this, the record with Paul, where he besought the Lord three times because of the thorn in his flesh that was sent by Satan to buffet him. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. I think God was telling him, hey, you got the power, you got the authority, you command it to stop. See, but we always want to dump it back on God, and he's already given us authority. That's the point. He's given us power. He's given us authority. So what I want to encourage you and to encourage other believing ones is to get together, you know, whether it's once a month or whatever you want to do. It's not something you want to do every day, because I don't think it needs to be done every day. And I don't think we need to focus on the adversary every day. But maybe once a month or once a week, you want to get together and just start commanding things, particularly when you see that there are problems in your community, problems in your city, problems in your area, to exercise some of the power of God to see if it's spiritual and forbid it to happen. And see if that begins to make a change in your community. I don't think it'll happen overnight, but I believe we can really make a great change. I believe we are the ministers of change and hope. And I don't care if some political party gets the credit for it. That doesn't bother me. I want to live powerfully. I want to live dynamically. And I know who I am, and I know what I have. So I'm confident in that. It doesn't shake me up. See, come boldly. And like I say, as a believer, we're to put on the whole armor of God. Remember, it says never be satisfied to being just a bare Christian. We need to start acting on the authority of the word that we've given. You know, I believe in prayer. And remember Romans 8:26, where the speaking in tongues is good for, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But you know, there's a lot of things we do know we can pray for, or should know, that we have the authority and the right and the power to pray for it and have the expectation that it'll be taken care of. But I think it's something you can invite people in your community. You know, you're out walking the dog, or you see somebody coming down the block, and you just start talking about things, and they're saying, well, I'm upset about stuff that's going on in the school. And I say, well, do you think there's anything, you Christian, do you think there's anything spiritual involved in it? Why don't you get together with us? We pray for our community once a month. We get together on Tuesday morning. You know, my wife makes toast and coffee for everybody. I don't know, you know, but we can get together and let's attack this thing as a community. You don't, you know, you want to go back to the church tomorrow. That's fine with me. What I'm concerned about is believers walking with power. That's my great concern. And I'd like to see every church walk with power. I don't care what stripe you are. Doesn't matter. See, that's why it's a believing thing. And we should be about our princely duties. We should be about handling the things of God. And then the great sixth chapter of Ephesians closes out with prayer of all things. You know, where the Apostle Paul says, let me just get to it, in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The reason I say, you know, once a month or whatever, because that word persevere is the word proskartereo in the Greek. And it's the same word that's used where the disciples continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, continuing steadfastly in prayer. It's also used in when Jesus Christ taught the people, he had a boat waiting for him. It means it had everything in it. It was all set. And the moment he left off speaking, they were ready to move. I think that's what that perseverance is, that you're ready to move with the authority and all the power and all the equipment that you have of God so that we can make an impact and we don't have to be sitting around waiting for 2010 or 2012. I think most of you can't afford to sit around. I know I can't afford financially to sit around and wait for 2010 for things to change. I need finances to change now. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I am commanding in my prayer, that the adversary is cut off from trying to block me from receiving the abundance of blessings God would like to have flow my way, and that he's not building a dam on property and ruining my rights to what God wants to have flow to me. And I believe it's the same thing for you. So if you would like to do this, I would appreciate if you let me know what your plan is and what you're going to do in your area, whether you want to get together as a fellowship or just individuals. But I think it's an important thing that we begin to really start to exercise our God-given authority, exercise our power, our delegated power over area of responsibility, and we can begin to see change, and we can give people great hope because we are not waiting for a deliverer. We have a Savior. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful love for us, your great goodness and kindness unto us. And I thank you, Father, for the victory we have in Christ and for our wonderful believing ones, Father, for blessing them. And I forbid the adversary from touching them and bothering them. And Father, I command in the name of Jesus Christ a great blessing upon our people in their homes and their communities. And Father, may the greatness of the power of Christ rest upon them as they move forth with great believing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.